Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
No Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Wall dick, where yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Skin 90% covered in Boston sports tattoos.
I was watching a game and I said, I want my head to look like Tom Brady's helmet.
Do you still brag about that one time you saw Wahlberg?
I met Matt Damon and Ben Affleck at the corner store in Hanover.
Do you fail to remove the cigarette from your mouth?
Oh, my cigarette.
Before telling someone to kiss your ass.
Found the cigarette.
Then how would you like $1,000 to buy all the scally caps and scratch tickets you want?
Hey, you
want
to come to Marymount Park?
It's Touch Your Riches Ultimate Townie Contest.
Woo!
If you think you're the ultimate townie, tweet a video to @TutcherAndRich, # Ultimate Townie Contest.
How'd you know about Red Bay Yankee?
In about a minute or less, show us why you are the ultimate townie, and you might win $1,000.
My girlfriend partied with them in Rhode Island.
It's Toucher and Rich's Ultimate Townie Contest.
Hey, this is from me. This is from Nicky Knuckles to Anderson. I'm looking for you, you two-faced rat.
You can win $1,000 to buy all the roast beef that you want.
How's the roast beef?
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. This is the first show I've been told since May 11th where everyone is here.
Oh, is there some people in the other room out when we were together? It was like Mike Lockhart out or...
Yeah, Nick was out for about 3 months. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. 11 weeks tomorrow, Rich. The six of us. Yeah.
Wow.
Not dead Nick is here today.
Hey. Nearly dead Nick back in the house, which, by the way, he was here last week and it was his birthday and he didn't tell anybody.
Right.
Yeah, he was here at the end of the show on Friday. So he can't stop popping in. And he was here to make copies of something.
Okay. It was funny because he was here. And listen, this is something that, you know, I'm going to completely be cool with however he feels, whether he needs to come and go. But like, the day of his birthday, he was here until like 8 o'clock. And then at like 9:30, I'm like, hey, where's Nick? He's like, oh, he went home. I'm like, okay, all right. Well, I had no idea about any of this. Didn't know it was his birthday. So happy late birthday, Nick. We would have done something big for you, but we were kind of too lazy too. So.
Well, he had to print out a shipping like a shipping postal thing. So he came here to get that.
Okay.
He drove up from wherever he is.
Where his personal FedEx Kinko's.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And he was very proud that it only took him like, you know, 25 minutes to get here. To which we say, wait until school starts.
Yeah.
Because John yesterday took 93 South. And went all over the place, went all around the city.
Yeah.
I decided, 95.
Instead of deeking and diving through neighborhoods, I just like, I can't stand sitting in traffic, so I just got on the highway and drove home that way. It was a long ass way to go, too.
Was it less than if you would have sat in traffic like
no,
in the past like
no
couple
way.
Of days?
No, probably not.
Okay, well,
no.
Then.
No, I just hate sitting. I do.
It took him like an hour.
Yeah, took me about 45, 50 minutes to get home.
But yesterday. You only sit for maybe like 10 minutes right here.
No, I take the Pike home.
Yeah.
So I would have
once
had...
Once you hit the Pike, doesn't it open up? It's like right here at 93 that it stinks. But once you hit the Pike, doesn't it open up?
I understand there's that major piece of construction there that people are sitting in traffic to wait to get through.
I don't know about that. So, okay.
I understand you live in the city, so you don't have to deal with this.
Yeah,
but those of us who live in the suburbs west of here have to deal with this crap.
I see. I didn't know there was construction. That does suck. That's not fun.
You didn't know there's construction there on the Mass Pike?
I had no idea. I haven't had to drive the Mass Pike in forever I go straight 93 here.
But
it's
been major news for the last week. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. You've seen billboards. Yeah. It said it's bad.
I haven't had to be on it.
You're not aware of it?
No.
You may be the only one.
Like, where was not aware this is happening. This? Like, where are you seeing that there's construction? Like, where are you hearing the news?
Am I wrong in thinking
that
has no knowledge of this?
Well, I haven't sat and watched, like, you know, the TV
like going news. Going to the airport on Friday, I had to go through, like, I had an Uber. Mm-hmm. They had to take me through the city.
We've been talking about this off the air, Dan, for how long? A week, 2 weeks?
Yeah, they're replacing the ComAv bridge that goes over the Green Line, the BU bridge where...
That's gotta suck.
The Mass Pike Sturrow Drive Bridge. Rich, I can't believe that you're the only. You might be the only person that isn't.
Not aware.
They actually told
happening.
People to take vacations the next week or so, just to avoid that area completely.
Yeah. People actually decided, well, I'm going to try it. It's not going to be too bad. Traffic on the Mass Pike was backed up through Newton yesterday.
Is this going to be done by the time the students come into town on September 1st?
They say yes.
Okay,
it's supposed to be done in 2 weeks, but probably not.
Okay. If you think that they're going to go and get it done in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, then it's not only do you have all that construction, but then you've got the tops of U-Hauls being ripped off like sardine cans.
Sure.
Right there on Sturrow with your average case of Sturrowing, which happens every September 1st.
Sure. But no, the Mass Pike is a nightmare for the next 2 weeks for everybody, and you have to find alternate routes to get home if you live in the western suburbs, like I do. So that's why, instead of messing with it and trying to deacon dive through neighborhoods, I just got on 93 South, went all the way around.
added about 25 miles to his commute.
Yeah, right.
Easily. You went to, like, over near Dedham, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's right.
Well, at least I got a Chick-fil-A there.
Yeah.
Just stop there along the way.
Dedham. Said hi to, you know, the Channel 25 building. And
right. You can go to West Roxbury, get yourself some Taco Bell.
Right.
Yeah, you could.
Yep.
But he lives all by that. He lives right when you get to Natick.
Oh, I live in heaven. I tell you, once you get up under that Speen Street Bridge, you pop up on Route 9, there it is. It's all there for you.
They're just like, here, die.
Yep.
Like, we don't have to put any dietary restrictions on you.
It's funny, as you say that, I see Kate Merrill from WBZ just tweeted a picture of the Mass Pike, and it's...
I don't know how you missed this.
Well, once again, I haven't had to drive that.
Since
it opened up here,
doesn't
I haven't
matter
had to go
if
anywhere
you have
near 90.
Drive it or not, it's been major news.
I just haven't turned on the TV news.
Okay.
So it escaped me. It's nuts. I mean, it's real.
You
of course,
really
I'm
have to work
you.
To avoid that. That's impressive.
Yeah.
All right. So we're doing this Ultimate Townie contest, and the videos have not been flying in.
Well, I think it sounds like it's been complicated, and it's not complicated when people see the rules and hear us explain it, you know, because it does kind of sound convoluted. So we're trying to make it simple for you. Just tweet us a video. Just add Touch and Rich. Tweet us a video. That's it. And make it a minute, 2 minutes. It doesn't really matter. And show us why you are, because there's a lot of people who have said that they wanted to enter it. But, like, the getting the video to us seems to be somewhat of an issue. Just tweet it to us like we've done before in the past. And I think that whatever promo we're running maybe makes it sound a little more convoluted than it actually is. We got a few of them last night, which is good. And I've got a bunch of people who are saying that they're going to make them. But we definitely want to get them in. Remember, the earlier you get them in, the better the chance that you get in on this contest. And $1,000 goes to the winner. There's real money that is going to go to somebody.
It's not going to charity. It's going to you.
It's going to you. It's $1,000 in your pocket if you are deemed via our Townie Jeopardy, Ultimate Townie Jeopardy, to be the best townie here in Boston. Also, second place is $500. So just think of that. If you're just one of the top two, you're walking away with at least $500. So you can get that to us at Touch and Rich. Just tweet us a video. That's all you got to do. It could be a minute, 2 minutes. We don't really care. Just show us how much of a townie you are, whether you're the king of Everett or the mayor of Malden or whatever you might be.
No,
the Duke
you
of
don't
Dorchester.
Have to, you don't have to hashtag it Ultimate Townie Test?
I mean, you could put hashtag Ultimate Townie Contest. I mean, you could do that. That's fine. Just get us the video. That's all we care about.
Okay.
Because I think it's confusing people. There's like a million different things you got to do. Just tweet us the video.
Did you get the email of with the attachment of the rules?
Last week I was sitting down with like the people, you know, and we had to have like a couple meetings about that.
I was on the air and I was like, oh, I'll give it a plug. And I hit the download thing,
that's right.
And it was like a 45 page contract.
I remember that.
Yeah, I just kept scrolling and scrolling.
Took Fred by surprise, yes.
Yeah, I thought it was just going to be like two bullet points.
No. It would have taken him maybe 10 minutes to read on the air.
But the best thing is that as we were having these meetings, I said, is there like a stipulation there that just says we can kind of just make the call however we want to do it? And they're like, yeah. I was like, all right, well, who cares? So essentially, we can just kind of go, all right, well, this is what's going to happen. They're like, okay.
All right,
the discretion of the hosts is used in there somewhere. It's like, all right, fine.
All right, so we are looking for people that are, you know, ultimate townies. We've had people in before. You know, we had that Fat Joe guy or whatever the hell his name is.
Fat Tony,
who had all the garbage on the dashboard of his car.
He took the video, and the inside of it was just empty fast food bags, a million scratch tickets, and a bunch of empty packs of smokes. And it was just a 45-second video of the inside of his car. I'm like, all right, well, this dude qualifies. And then you've got, of course, Pasta Joe, who was great. Nora, once again, this is not male exclusive. Some of the best townies are definitely female. And she was the one who would always carry around nips of alcohol in her purse wherever she would go. If you've got a zillion, it was funny because I posted a picture yesterday of this guy who had this shamrock with all the Boston Sports logos in it. And people were like, I want to make fun of that, but I can't. It's like a rat tattoo. And people started sending me pictures of their own like tattoos. And I'm like, well, dude, you got to send a video in.
You make $1,000 for that big mistake.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, get rewarded for your big mistakes. All right, Rich, what are we going to talk about?
Well, yesterday we got a game that went to 13 innings. Also on top of that, it was one of them practices for the public that everyone got to see down at Gillette.
Toucher and Rich.
Self-help shenanigans.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
Five to Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what occurred last evening?
Well, the Red Sox won again because, of course, they did.
Brock Holt is out of the ball game with that. Chez a shot to right on the move. Quinn, he's not going to get it. It skips up into the stands.
One hopper.
Red Sox have won the ball game. Nunez coming in to score. Swihart delivers with a shot to right, and the Red Sox win it in 13 by a final score of 2-1.
And then Wallach was finally able to go to sleep. So the Red Sox finally played their first team.
I didn't make it.
You didn't make it through the whole thing?
I actually went to sleep after the 12th.
I did.
I went to sleep after the 12th, woke up, saw the score. Of course, I taped the 13th. So I woke up and watched the last inning this morning.
Yeah, how sad is it that I did? I actually went to the first part of that game.
Really?
I went down there just for a couple innings. I mean, you know, now it's like when I go to Red Sox games, I'm there for like 4 or 5 innings.
Sure.
And then I'm done.
The game moved along real fast until it went to extra innings.
Oh, it was great. Yeah. Like, I mean, I got in 5 innings in like, what, like an hour and 15 minutes or something like that? Yeah. I mean, it was a great pitcher's duel. But the Red Sox finally play their first team with a winning record in a month. That's right. It's been a month since that's happened. And this one goes well into the night. But in the end, the Red Sox, once again, they pull it off. 2-1, the final score of the Phillies in 13 innings. A pitcher's duel, as I mentioned, with Aaron Nola frustrating the hell out of the Sox bats. And David Price was absolutely dealing.
2-2. And struck him out. Got him looking. 93. One of his better fastballs tonight.
So much to Scott Zolak's chagrin, David Price has been on a nice little run. He's given up only 4 total runs in his last 3 starts. And the bullpen, they were just as good. Giving up 2 hits and 5 scoreless innings. When you watch Joe Kelly walk out there, just everything inside.
Oh, God, like, I assumed they were going to lose.
And everyone did.
Scoreless inning, I mean, great. They had to wait until the 11th or 12th to bring him in. But scoreless inning, that's good.
I just love how Alex Cora just straight up said, we're only going to use him if we absolutely positively have to use him.
Yeah, if we're running out of relievers like they were last night, we'll send him out there. By the way, if that David Price shows up in the playoffs, I'm really psyched because David Price has been pitching well. Last night, I didn't know this until I saw the graphic on Nesson. I think he had 1 swing and miss on his fastball in 8 innings. So he got by on his secondary stuff. He was really, really good. He gave up a lot of hits, but on a night when you don't have your best pitch, to be able to, you know, slither through that lineup and only give up 1 run in 8 innings. If that David Price shows up in game 2 of a playoff series, Sox got a great chance.
Dude, that's a colossal if. That's the one thing.
I know that. It is a colossal if. His struggles in the playoffs are well documented, but I like what I saw last night out of him. He didn't have his best stuff and still matched a guy, an all-star, who was on his game.
Yeah, he was great last night. But it wasn't easy, obviously, for the Red Sox. The top five in the Sox batting order were 0-for-24 with a walk. So 13 innings does it. Here is Blake Swihart in his game-winning hit.
You know, just getting my timing down and, you know, having fun playing baseball.
I'm sorry again.
You got to do a pie in the face?
Wah, wah. Okay, so apparently, Mike, hop on the mic real quick. Blake Swihart, now, I saw this happen, but it was kind of, I wasn't really paying much attention. And I know that Garen Austin moved out of the way really quick. But this seemed to be the worst Gatorade bath of all time.
Yeah, it was one of those huge rectangular tubs, and the guy was trying to dump it on him, but it was like closed, but only open for like a quarter of an inch. Dripping on him.
You give him the old shaving cream pie.
Yeah, it was just like a drip situation. It didn't really work out that well.
No, that's what he gets for not giving him the old shaving cream pie.
No, you got to do that. You got to put it right in their face. Go. And then
you take it and you brush it from your eyes, and you go, guys,
what are we doing here? Well, as for David Price, we know who's what's coming this weekend.
Yep, Sunday night, baby.
That's right. Price will be facing the team that makes his body cramp and his pitches wobble, the New York Yankees. But according to him, he's really, really, really looking forward to facing those guys. Aren't you, David Price?
I'm excited. You know, I think we're all excited. So I don't know how many games we're in first place by, but whenever you're playing the Yankees, it's always exciting.
Well, with the trade deadline, he sounds completely jacked. Well, with the trade deadline today, the Red Sox made a move last night acquiring Ian Kinsler from the Angels. Anaheim gets Williams, Jerez, and Ty Buttrey in return.
Yes.
By those guys.
Triple A relievers, the two of them.
Okay.
Buttrey.
Buttrey. By the way, is it kind of amazing that, you know, we've been making fun of, obviously, the farm system that the Red Sox have had and how they're depleted. Dabrowski's still been able to make trades, like enough to be able to get guys here, which is
we'll see. They need a major league reliever today. I don't care how many starters you put in the bullpen for the playoffs. You need an eighth inning guy to get you.
And Kinsler's very good defensively, but Wallach has informed me he's been hot of late. But yes, he's like a.
Is it 230, 230, 240?
Shadow of the man he was 5 years ago.
He's hitting 240 in 91 games with 13 homers and 32 RBI, which is fine.
He's a very good defensive player. And so you got like a nice little backstop there at second. He's going to play.
Yeah, he's got some pop. I mean, he hit home runs. He was playing in Detroit the last 2 years. I think he hit, 50 home runs combined the last two seasons playing in Detroit. So he's still got pop at the age of 36, but he's played one inning of third base in his life. He's a second baseman. So this officially closes the door, as if we didn't know that already, on Dustin Pedroia.
Yeah, he's not playing third base for this team.
Right.
He's playing second base, and he's a quality defensive player. I'll say it again, but I would not start freaking out about, because it's a name that you know, and it's a name that meant a lot 6 years ago, and it no longer does.
Well, here's Dave Dombrowski on the trade.
You know, we really have talked quite a bit about it. I think he's coming here with, I can't tell you who's going to be in the lineup, what particular days and all that, but I think he's coming here with the idea he's probably going to be our regular second baseman, at least most of the time. That's the thought process there. And then it puts us in a spot where, you know, Brock becomes the utility guy that we really think he plays a very good role, and as does Nunez, can go and play all over the field for us. So, and then when Devers gets back, we have the ability to go down to 12 pitchers, we think, at that time period. So we think it makes us a stronger ball club.
I have to be honest, I'm kind of bummed out because there was news that kind of broke during the game yesterday that there was potential talk between the Red Sox and the Rangers about Adrian Beltre. And all I wanted was just to see David Price accidentally touch Beltre on the head and watch Beltre just lose his stuff on him. I'm telling you, after all these years, there's really not many things I'm more fascinated by than you can't touch Adrian Beltre's head or he loses his mind.
That Beltre takes massive shots to the nuts
and
still refuses to wear a cup.
Yep, he does. And apparently that thing swole up like a grapefruit, too.
Well, they described what happened to Yadier Molina's balls.
That's not funny. That's
they did a whole story on it and what happens.
But there's actually a supercut of people touching Adrian Beltre's head that you can find on YouTube. And it's... Like, it's no joke. That guy does not like it, and I don't know why, and I don't know if he's ever been asked why he doesn't like people touching his head.
I'll tell you, Tavares likes people touching his head. He'll let Manny Ramirez just give him a nice rub.
That was so uncomfortable, man. And you know what? Credit to the Nesson staff for just keeping the camera on them during the game. Like, he would just, Tavares was in there, and Manny would put his arm around him and just, like, he'd slowly stroke his fingers through his hair, and it was wildly uncomfortable. But another big thing, potentially big news, as far as the trade deadline is concerned, is that there are reports the Nationals are exploring any potential trades for Bryce Harper, and they're letting teams know that, hey, we might be interested. From what you have seen, John Wallach,
yes,
is there anybody who is a potential, or you're hearing any heat as far as any of the teams?
Renting him.
Yeah, he's going to be a free agent, and from what I read late last night, the Nationals will trade him if they get blown away. I mean, this guy is their best player. He's not, average-wise, he's having a crap season, but he's a heck of a rental if you bring him in. But the Nationals aren't just going to give him up. They're going to ask for a lot to get him. And obviously the Yankees are the first team you think of. But for right now, there's no team that said, you know what? I'm willing to give you the farm system for a guy for a month and a half.
If the Yankees get him, that would be awesome. Because that, I mean, now it's fun. I mean, how
Yankees
great
just
going to
sign him in the offseason anyway.
Well, sure. But how great would that make the second half of the season? If you know that Bryce Harper's now on the Yankees, too. I mean, that's obviously going to... Because now it's getting to the point where the Red Sox are kind of getting a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a margin between them and the Yankees. And I would like to see things get a little more interesting, to be quite honest.
Well, the Yankees are going to make moves today, so...
They already got two starters in the last 3 days.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they have the bullpen already. I mean, they're... You know, Hop's a really good pitcher.
Yes.
He pitched in the All-Star game earlier this month.
Are you fine with the Red Sox not making a move for the bullpen?
No, I'm not fine with that. I mean, I've been shouted down many places, including, who do we have on? Jason Mastrodonato.
Mastrodonato
said, you know, I like the bullpen the way it is. And in my mind, Matt Barnes is not an eighth inning, is not the eighth inning guy on a team that goes and wins the World Series. They need an experienced guy to get you to Craig Kimbrell. I don't care. You could put Drew Pomeranz in the bullpen. He's not an eighth inning guy. He said Eovaldi can be a bullpen guy. Eovaldi just had two Tommy John surgeries. You have to rest him 6 days between starts. He is fragile. You can't have him pitch out of the bullpen twice in a three-day span. You got to get a guy who's used to that. And if they go through today, if Dave Dombrowski goes through today without doing that, this could be a potential killer against the Yankees or Houston in a seven-game series.
Yeah, and in the playoffs especially, that setup guy becomes very, very important, as you've seen over the last couple of seasons. All right, Rich, what do we got to talk about?
Tom Brady loses his mind and swears a lot.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And then people go, leave him alone. here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Listen on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app and take us anywhere you go. Also, you can listen at home or at your office on your smart speaker. Just say play 98.5 The Sports Hub. And then without you having to do anything, boogaroogie up there on the old speaker. You're dancing and prancing.
Hoogaroogie.
What?
Is it boogaroogie? Like you're kind of boogieing.
Okay.
Like you got a female over and you go, you want to set the mood and you go, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You can hear our sweet, smooth voices.
Yeah.
And then it's audio seduction. Just admit it.
And then the girl just is like, wow, you did that without touching nothing? And you said, yeah, but now it's time to touch a little something.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And all the machismo coming out of those speakers are the ultimate aphrodisiac. So there is a book that's coming out. I believe it comes out next week. It's called 12, The Inside Story of Tom Brady's Season of Redemption. And we actually have one of the authors coming on, Dave Wedge, in the 8 o'clock hour. Does it come out today? Is that when it comes out? Okay, yeah. So it comes out today. So, and it's a book that kind of goes behind the scenes of all the Deflategate stuff. And you're like, I've heard enough about Deflategate. But there are some excerpts in this that have been released which make it seem worth buying. So as a matter of fact, there was an excerpt released that came out in The Athletic that starts with the famous press conference where Robert Kraft went in there and basically said, hey, you know what? I'm not going to fight this anymore. I'm going to be a team player. And he goes, and this is from the excerpt. He goes, I don't want to continue the rhetoric that's gone on for the last 4 months. He told reporters, I'm going to accept reluctantly what Goodell has given us and not to continue this dialogue and rhetoric, and we won't appeal. It says Kraft star quarterback Tom Brady watched the news conference along with millions of others on television. He was devastated and angry. Brady grabbed his cell phone and punched in the contact number for Demoris Smith, executive director of the National Football League Players Association. What the F, Brady shouted over the phone, although he actually used the word.
Tom, you're better than that.
Why am I not getting the support I deserve on this thing? Smith tried to console his client and friend. No matter what Kraft says, it has no bearing on our appeal for the four-game suspension, he told Brady. We'll be ready in time for that, trust me. In January 2015, months before Kraft announced a decision to end his fight against Goodell and thus give up his defense of Brady, the star quarterback was left twisting in the wind by his own head coach. During a news conference at Gillette Stadium, Belichick defended his own actions and perceived lack of knowledge of any wrongdoing and uncharacteristically told reporters they should, quote, ask Tom about the deflated balls, seemingly throwing his star player under the bus. Now the bus was on top of Brady. This was a much different Belichick than anyone, including Demoris Smith, had seen before. The coach had mastered the art of saying basically nothing to the press, but here he was animated, angry, and pointing the finger at his own quarterback. And then it goes into, apparently Demoris Smith told Tom Brady, listen, don't say a word. And then the very next day, Tom Brady said, I'm going to speak to the press, because I guess the entire time he didn't think it was that big of a deal. And remember the My Balls Are Perfect press conference where he went up there and did all that, which was obviously fantastic.
My Balls Are Perfect.
Which we might have to rock at some point this morning because it was absolute genius by whoever made it. But there you go. So it's basically about the simmering, and it's kind of important to read this now, knowing everything that's been going on with the rift between Brady and Belichick. And I, to be quite honest, I kind of forgot about all of that. And you're right. He did throw Tom Brady under the bus when he was like, well, you know, go ask Tom about all this instead of exonerating or standing up for him.
That was the most interesting thing out of that whole mess is that when Bill Belichick came up there and he said, and it was his original one.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, go talk to Tom, because he was obviously pissed off and had nothing to do with it. And so he's like, you know, if Tom's indeed cheating, go ask him about it. Don't drag me into this.
And it sure does seem like that's the beginning of the, I don't want to say the beginning of the end because we don't know how it ends, but that's the beginning of the rift. Can we all agree that that's the first time publicly that you had to sit back and go, maybe things aren't as perfect between the two of those guys as we thought it was.
It was the first time I heard it. Obviously, Guerrero is the massive rift.
Yeah, well, there might have been a small tear. Guerrero is just tearing the thing open.
Sure. I mean, Guerrero definitely made it enormous.
If it was just that,
but
and then they went ahead and won a Super Bowl, that has a way of smoothing things over. So, I mean, I think it's more Guerrero than this.
But the fact that Tom Brady's sitting there, and according to this book, and I guess all the people that they interviewed, he's pissed off that neither Robert Kraft nor Bill Belichick would stand up for him, and he was basically left sitting there having to defend himself on his own. You could see how that could stick with you, especially something as embarrassing as this. I mean, this is the one thing that affects his legacy, you know, that the one taint that he's got on his legacy of otherwise, you know, a pristine record of everything he's done in the NFL.
It's more Belichick than Kraft. Belichick dumped it in his lap. Kraft didn't take the high road, but say, you know what, in order not to bring all of this stuff down on the organization, in order to kind of move on, we'll take our punishment.
Well, that, I saw the pitch.
That's a little different than Belichick saying, go talk to the quarterback.
Well, Brady's ultimately protesting what's going on in this offseason by not working out. You saw pictures of him.
Well, I mean,
Tom, you're better than that.
The best thing that I saw was somebody put a side-by-side photo of the picture from TMZ that came out a couple of weeks ago of him with his shirt off and the picture of him at the combine. And it was like, look, nothing's changed after however many years. And it's funny because as much as we used to mock and kind of laugh at that picture, look at Tom Brady. He used to be this doughy, you know, blah, blah, blah. And now he's this chiseled guy. He's back to that now. I mean, when you see it side by side, it's almost the exact same picture.
Oh, yeah. And he was made fun of at the combine.
And now it's like, I mean, you can say what you will, but that's the body that he's got now, or at least he did when that picture was taken.
That's like if you saw a picture of a 25-year-old woman naked, and then you saw her when she was 46, and you're swinging low at that point. You know?
Swinging low.
Swing low.
Well, Tom Brady was...
Knee knockers?
He was doing some interviews yesterday, and he was asked about how he feels.
Your enthusiasm is as it always has been. Yeah. You look excited as could be to be at football. A lot of guys question us and ask, what's Tom like? I said, I'm going to tell him just what I saw. Yeah. He looks like he's ready to play another 10. How do you feel?
I feel great. I mean, I've had... You know, I worked on some things this offseason. I've got, you know, in training camp, I wish I was perfect out there every day. But I think today I was a little frustrated that, you know, I missed a couple that I should have had. And it's just, again, daily process and just going about it and trying to figure out where I got to get better, where some things are deficient, and try to work on those things and build toward the first game of the year. That's what we're trying to do.
Did you see that article that came out yesterday from religionofsports.com, which Tom Brady's associated with?
Just really hang on. Was that Mike Wallace interviewing Tom Brady?
With the ultimate ass kissing at the beginning.
Let me
fillet you before I actually do this interview.
What a question. And not even a question, a statement of fact about just how much he's ruling.
It is very strange. Did you see that Religion of Sports thing that came out? No. Religion of Sports is something of Tom Brady, and I think who's the other guy? Not Shannon Sharp.
Michael Strahan.
Michael Strahan, that's right, that they're both involved in. And it was a question and answer with Tom Brady, which ended up essentially being just a PR piece, like something that could have just been released by Tom Brady. Yeah. Because one of the questions was, Tom, tell us, what was the thinking behind your deciding to report early to camp this year? And there's no mention of him skipping the optional, the OTAs. There's none of that. No mention whatsoever. He's like, well, you know, I want to get my body in peak shape.
When exactly did he show up to camp?
Well, like 2 days early, which according to all the reports, that's when I think that he's usually shows up.
Yeah.
So it's not like anything not extra
early.
He even did there.
Not early because he missed all the offseason stuff.
Yeah, it's the normal time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, all I know is that we can go back and think of, you know, one of the best moments in Tom Brady's life.
With respect to the balls and that there was obviously an issue with the balls.
I don't think anybody knew there was an issue with the balls.
To me, those balls are perfect. I can only speak for myself. I don't want anyone touching the balls, rubbing the balls. To me, those balls are perfect. Some guys like them round, and some guys like them thin, and some guys like old balls, new balls. They're all different, so you gotta feel them, and you gotta squeeze them. To me, those balls are all perfect. I choose the balls that I want. You know, I grip it, I grab it, I feel the lace, I feel the leather. I wouldn't want anyone touching the balls. I would zip those things up and lock them away. Some days one ball may feel good, the next day it may not. I want to be very familiar with the equipment that I'm using. This is a crisis. No one's dying, but this is a very important thing. Because to me, those balls are perfect. I can only speak for myself. I don't want anyone touching the balls, rubbing the balls. To me, those balls are perfect. Some guys like them round, and some guys like them thin. Some guys like old balls, new balls. They're all different, so you gotta feel them, and you gotta squeeze them. To me, those balls are all perfect. You gotta feel them, and you gotta squeeze them. To me, those balls are all perfect. You gotta feel them, and you gotta squeeze them. To me, those balls are all perfect. You know, I grip it, I grab it, I grab it, I grip it. To me, those balls are all perfect. Zip those things up, zip those up, and lock them away. To me, those balls are all perfect. Like I said, I had no... Yeah.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Rich, what else do we got for the people?
Well, Jerry Jones is just covering himself in glory, so... If you've been following the whole national anthem situation, there was a the NFL. My God, it seems like all this happened within like a month and a half, all this like back and forth. So the NFL came out and said that players would be punished if they did not stand for the national anthem. And then after everyone went nuts, that was, of course, after the Miami Dolphins released some statements saying that they would indeed fine or punish their players if they did not do it. And then almost the same day as Miami made that announcement, the NFL said, you know what? Because there was such a backlash.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Just forget that whole thing we said about the national anthem and you being fined or punished. And to that, Miami said, oh, did we really tweet that out? Did we say that? pardon us as we kind of step back behind this pillar here where no one can see us. But Jerry Jones seems to be the lone holdout who will not shut up about wanting to continue to punish his players if they do not stand up for the national anthem. So finally, the NFL apparently told him to shut his mouth and stop talking about it because it kept backfiring. So yesterday, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, Mr. Jerry Jones, was supposed to do one of these sit-downs at the at their camp. Now, this reporter from Dallas is a lot like the Dan Roach of Dallas.
Okay. So usually a happy guy. He's trying to make waves.
Right. He seems to be the guy that once a year will sit down at camp, kind of do a fairly light interview with Jerry Jones, talking about the things. And he's even talked about how he's been criticized before for being too pro team. Well, there is a video that came out of moments before the interview he was supposed to do. Jerry Jones and the PR guy for the Cowboys walk up to him and say, all right, we're going to talk to you, but don't ask any questions about the national anthem. And to that, the reporter, once again, this is someone who is not like Mr. I'm out to get you. Right. This is like Dan Roach, refused to do the interview. And here's what he had to say when this was supposed to be aired. In lieu of the actual interview, here's what the reporter said.
As it turns out tonight, at the last second before we were getting ready to record our interview, we were told by Jerry and by his public relations staff that the national anthem issue would be off limits. And the fact that we were told that at the last minute, that conditions were put on the interview in that way, I just didn't feel comfortable going on with it. Certainly, there were a lot of things to talk about with Jerry tonight, not just the national anthem. We would have gotten into many issues having to do with this football team, clearly. I just couldn't accept the way it happened in this particular case tonight. Hopefully, we'll have a chance to talk to Jerry in the future. Not sure how that will go at this point, but there won't be an interview tonight.
And the best thing is, while he's talking, they're showing the raw video of before that moment where the PR person and Jerry Jones walk up to him, and you just see the reporter just put his hand in his hand. Like, they tell him, we can't talk about the anthem. And he just rubs his head and looks at him and just shakes his head like, no, I'm not going to do the interview. If we can't talk about the national anthem, I can't do it. And then Jerry Jones kind of gets all frustrated and huffy and walks away. Well, there's a reporter in Dallas named Dale Hansen, who's he's kind of a national treasure. His stuff's gone viral before around the country. But he had something to say about, and by the way, Jerry Jones hates Dale Hansen. He's even said it before. It's kind of like, you know, Newman. He is not a fan of Dale Hansen. So Dale Hansen yesterday goes on TV and says this.
As it turns out tonight.
This is it right here.
Jones and his son, Stephen, were saying the other day that any player who takes a knee and doesn't toe the line during the national anthem won't be playing for the Dallas Cowboys anymore. It's incredible to me that a player can beat up a woman and play for the Dallas Cowboys. A player can use illegal drugs time and time again and still play. But you take a knee to protest the racial injustice in America, and now you've crossed a line that he will not allow. Jones loves and respects the national anthem so much that when it was being played before the start of practice Saturday, he left his cap on. And when he was told about the mistake he was making, he still left his cap on. He who makes the rules apparently doesn't have to follow them. I'm Dale Hansen. Enjoy the day.
So they show a video of Jerry Jones while they're doing the national anthem, and everyone around him has their hat in their hands, and the guy next to Jerry Jones like taps him and points at his hat, and Jerry Jones just kind of shakes his head. Was that his son-in-law who told him to take the hat off? Okay, is that who the guy is to his next? He's a big dude. For Jerry Jones not being like that big, his son's, I mean, his wife or whoever the woman was who his mother is must be pretty damn
big.
Is he
the guy who cleans his glasses up in the suite?
Okay,
that's the guy.
The guy who cleans the glasses.
This didn't look like that guy. Because this guy, whoever like nudged him and said, take the hat off, and Jerry Jones was like, no. It's great because as he's saying that, he goes, yeah, okay, if you love the anthem so much, then what are you doing?
Yeah, anyone who employs Greg Hardy and supports him, yeah, he's great for the locker room. We like his enthusiasm. Has no moral leg to stand on.
Well, it's funny because I was playing golf with like guys in their late 60s, early 70s, and they're all BS about the anthem protests. And I'm sitting there playing golf with them, and all I'm thinking is, the NFL doesn't care if you watch or not. You're 70.
It's like, true, because you don't see them in the demos that they report. Right.
Did you say that out loud to all three of them?
No, but it was bugging me. It kind of started losing my game a little bit.
I understand. Golf is mental. I got it.
I desperately just wanted to go, do you think they care?
That would have been great. Would have put a damper on the back nine,
did
but still would have been funny.
A guy in his early 70s is all like, no, your opinion doesn't matter at all to them.
And the best thing about all of this is that nobody would be talking about it if it wasn't for guys like Jerry Jones continuing to bring it up again.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just love how even the NFL finally, because they botched this whole thing so bad ever since it started, that they finally told Jerry Jones, shut up, dude. Don't talk about it anymore.
Let the president politicize it. It's unbelievable.
I think we've learned that we can't win in the eyes of a certain group of people. So at least let's just stay out of it, shut our mouths, and whatever the players do, they do.
Yeah.
We can all live with it.
Right. Well, I don't know if I can live with it. It claws at my brain every day. All right. No commercials here, just the headlines.